Right. Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to get into the Word of God, and it's time to get excited once again, knowing that the Word of God will give you what you need in your life. If you just tune into the Holy Spirit, it will show you how to live. And that's what we want, don't we? Because if you think you can do it on your own, you can try, but you know what? God says, you do it my way, I will bring forth my presence, I will bring forth my blessings. Amen? Well, I'm going to start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your most awesome presence. We seek after you, Lord, because we know, Lord, where you are, there is an abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. And I ask you now, Lord, as we come hungry for your word, fill us up overflowing, overflowing, Lord, of your goodness, overflowing of your wisdom, because, Lord, we truly want to live lives that are pleasing to you. We surrender to you now. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, first of all, if you don't have notes, you can raise your hand and someone will get the bulletins in your hand. The title of my sermon today is Living a Legacy That Is Worth Leaving For. Living a Legacy That Is Worth Leaving For. You know, the other day I was at the Walgreens drugstore and I came upon an issue of Life magazine. And on the front of the magazine were pictures of famous people that we had lost in 2012. And you know, usually in December of every year, you know, the radio, the internet, the magazines, and the newspapers, they'll take turns in doing a story of remembrance of the people that have passed on in the past year. And you know, this year is no different. You know, among the celebrities who left in their early life in 2012 were the following. You guys heard of Hector Macho Camacho, right? He's a prize boxer. And Queen of Pop, Whitney Houston, she passed on early this year. And actors, Jack Klugman, Ernest Borgnine, Andy Griffith, and Larry Hagman, they all passed on this year. Last year. And U.S. Senators, Daniel Inouye and George McGovern. NFL player, Alex Karras. Singer, Andy Williams. Astronauts, Neil Armstrong and Sally Ride, comedian Phyllis Diller, writer Gore Vidal, disco queen Donna Summer, hairstylist to the stars Vidal Sassoon, pop icon Davy Jones, and even the very man who helped ring in the new year for 30 years. You know him, right? Dick Clark. And you know, we love to look back and ponder the contributions of those who have passed before us. We kind of think, oh, what were their contributions? How did they impact the society? Because, you know, you think about it, everyone on this year's list was an ideal model or hero in their own right. And some of them, they left a lasting impression on our society and our culture. And, you know, in the book of Hebrews, you know, we find such a list. On it are those who were princes and princesses and paupers, prostitutes and patriarchs, military leaders, farmers, herdsmen, and even boat builders. But you know what? They all had one thing in common. You know what it was? Let's look what it says in Hebrews 11:13. It says, all these people were still living by what? Faith when they died. Wow. The question is your faith in God so strong that you know, even with your last breath, you'll be praising God? Because that's the thing. We got to live a life that is true to God. A life that says, Lord, it's you all the way. You got to say, I'm all in, Lord. And you got to be willing to make choices in your life that always fits in, always does what the Word of God shows us to do. Because if you do, you're going to leave a legacy for all the people around you that will truly impact them. You have influenced them in a way that you know God is in their lives because you had something to do with it, because you were firm. You were totally on fire for the Word of God. Let me read to you what it says in verses 32 to 38. It's not in your notes. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. And he goes on. He says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith, you know what they did? They conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, and gained what was promised. who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead. They were raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. From the ranks of this biblical perspective, we know we can draw strength from them. We know because they lived a life that was true to God. Wow, we look upon their very lives and we go, wow, we want to be like them. Because that's what God wants from us. A life, a heart that says, I'm in it 100% over the top with you, Lord. Because when God sees that your heart is true to him like that, he's going to use you in ways to bring glory to his name. Look what it says in Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Brothers and sisters, are your eyes fixed on Jesus? More importantly, is your heart fixed on Jesus? Because we go through life thinking, yeah, you know what? It's important. We got to go to church. We got to serve in the church. But, you know, God wants that from us. He wants us to read the Bible. He wants to get in the Word. He wants us to have devotion time with him. But, you know, most importantly, God wants your heart. You're to express love to him every single day. And you're going to say, Lord, I come with a heart of surrender. And you, when you love him that much, it does not become a chore. Whatever you do unto the Lord, you get excited. It doesn't become, oh, I have to do this now for God. No, it becomes, oh, I get to do this. Oh, man, Lord, I'm privileged. I get to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You got to get that excitement in your heart. Because if you know it's for him, oh, give all you got for him, because he's going to empower you. He's going to strengthen you. You're never going to grow weary of doing good for the Lord. Amen? Well, the question is, what kind of legacy will you leave your family, your friends, your co-workers, the people that you encourage, the people that you mentor? What kind of legacy will you leave them? Because to simply put it, legacy means what you leave behind. What kind of impact will you leave behind the people that you influence? Do you spend your time trying to advance yourself? Or do you truly invest in the eternal future of others? That's an important question to ask. Because you hear it in my sermons a lot. And you know, some people go, oh, man. Sometimes, I don't know, I get all excited because I realize I need to serve. But wow, man, the world is all about me, myself, and I. And sometimes I think, does this mean I'm totally excluded? Well, I got to tell you, try it out. When you say, Lord, it's all about you, it's all about others, I got to tell you, you're going to be one happy guy or gal. Because, you know, you're going to just want to do more and more for God. It doesn't stop. When you get that desire to do good unto the Lord, it doesn't stop. You're just going to say, Lord, more. More. You wake up in the morning, Lord, I'm ready. More. And oh, I tell you, it's so good when you can really tune into that, when you really get your mindset to do unto the Lord. And that's where God, he's going to just bring more of his power, bring more of his miracles in your life. You know, in the book of Joshua, you know, in chapter 23, he's nearing his death, and he assembled all the leaders of Israel, and he gathered them, just telling them, remember what we've been through. He wanted to make sure that the leaders understood the way things were to continue. Imagine, he's on his deathbed, And he's telling them, hey gang, remember what we've been through. Remember, God was the one that gave us all that we have today. God was the one that gave us strength. God gave us all the provisions we needed to be victorious. And the purpose of this farewell, this last will and testament, if you can call it that, was to ensure that his people will endure in the faithfulness to God. And that's what was in his heart. Even on his deathbed, he was telling them, remember, to stay faithful, because in the future generations, you are the ones that are going to see to it that they stay faithful. Because you know what? Without the leaders, guess what's going to happen to the people? They're going to start doing their own thing. And it's important, we as the leaders of the church, we got to stay grounded. Because you know what? The people who are watching, the ones that are you know, the seekers, the ones that are starting to get some understanding of what it means to follow God, they're watching the leaders. And we got to make sure we're going to stay strong. We're going to not make any compromises. We're going to say, Lord, this is your word. We're doing it. This is so important when we as leaders stay focused and we say, this is the way of God. There's no other way. So here's the question. So how must we live in order to leave behind a worthy legacy? And you know, the title of my sermon is Living a Legacy Worth Leaving For. Because originally I had entitled it Leaving a Legacy Worth Living For. And I kind of thought about that. It didn't sound right. So I asked someone who was very wise. I asked my wife. And she said, let me pray about this. And within seconds, she said, then it should be living a legacy worth leaving for. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, I love that. And I knew the Lord gave that to her. But she's a smart woman anyway, I know. And I know the Lord gives her what she asked for because she asked with her whole heart. Amen. Amen. So number one here, it says, we must live with a confident assurance in God. We got to live with a confident assurance in God. And what that means is when you know you go to God, when you ask him for something, you got to be certain in your heart. The Bible says, whatever you ask for, God says, I'm going to deliver. You got to have this kind of faith. This kind of faith that says, Lord, I'm believing. It's a confident assurance. He's saying, God, I know you will deliver because I've seen what you have done in my life and I have no doubt you will bring it. Look what Joshua says in chapter 23, 1 through 5. This is what he says to the leaders of Israel. It says here, the years passed and the Lord had given the people of Israel rest from all their enemies. And Joshua, who was very old, called together all the elders, leaders, judges, and officers of Israel. He said to them, I am now a very old man. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. I have allotted to you as your homeland all the land of the nations yet unconquered, as well as the land of those we have already conquered, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. This land will be yours, for the Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of their land, just as the Lord your God has promised you. Wow. That's the leader, isn't it? Say, God's going to deliver what he promises. And he says, you can be confident of this. That's what we need to hear from leaders. And we know God's going to call you to be a leader one day too, if you're not one right now. And we got to have that desire to lead, to say, let's trust in God all the way. We got to say, believe in God with your whole heart. And we cannot say, oh, but this, but that. No, we're going to say, Lord, God said this, he's going to deliver. And you know, with fatherly care, Joshua assured the Israelites of God's presence and help. And he based this upon the fact, he said, remember, look back, see what God had done for us. And sometimes it takes for us to look back. We got to remember what God had done, because sometimes we're stuck in a situation and we go, oh, I wonder if God's really going to come through. And sometimes when we look back, I tell you, this is what I do. When I look back, I remember how God delivered me from the pit. There were times I was in total despair. And I remember God's love. I remember the peace that came into me when I cried out the name of Jesus. That's what we must do. Look back to the past and go, oh God, you were strong then. You're going to be strong now. Amen. And you got to realize God is not going to disappoint you. He's going to see you through it. And we got to make it our goal in life. We're going to help people. We're going to motivate them. We're going to energize them. We're going to encourage them to keep going. And let them know, hey, you'll be confident in your assurance of faith in God. Because you can tell them about your own situation. You can tell them about the time that, oh man, you were out of work or you were in a desperate situation. And you say, I prayed to God and God delivered. I hear these testimonies at the park where people got on their knees and they simply asked God for whatever they needed, whether it be a job, a place to live. And they got it. They come back. They said, you're not going to believe, Pastor. I prayed and God delivered. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not surprised. Because that's what our Father God does. Oh, we've got to let that confidence bubble out. You say, yeah, He did it for you, and He's going to continue to. Because He loves you that much. And we've got to tell people how God has transformed us. He transformed us into the person we are today. Because I've got to tell you, if you knew Ben Ewan 15, 20 years ago, man, I got to tell you, I was probably still a young Christian, and I got to tell you, I was still selfish in my ways, and I still didn't have the love of God in me to the point where I knew I had to love deeply, to the point of loving enemies. You know, I didn't have that, and I was still focused on myself. God has changed me over the years because as I got into His Word, I ate up His Word, and it sunk deep in my heart. And I realized if I don't change, man, I shouldn't be calling myself a Christian. I'm not a follower of Christ if I'm not doing His Word. It's very important we are to be doers of the Word of God. Because that's where God will bring forth His fruit. That's where God will bring forth His blessings. And I realize that now. I did look back like 20 years ago and I go, man, if I only realize, wow, what God could do when my heart is truly surrendered to Him. And you know, Joshua, he stated that Yahweh would drive out the enemy. That's what he said on his deathbed. And he said, Israel, He's going to give you the possession of His inheritance. He will deliver it. But you got to stay true. You got to stay strong unto His Word. And you know what? Jesus, you know He did the very same thing. You know what He promised us? He said, I promise you, there will be a counselor. Who is that? The Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will convict you, will comfort you, will strengthen you, and will guide you into His truth. This is what the Bible tells us. And we know God delivered. And we should be living in this light. We should be telling people about the truths of the Word of God. And we got to get excited about this. Because if there's no excitement when you share with others your faith, people go, oh, kind of boring, huh, your faith. Oh, you know, you say you're so alive in Christ, but hey, there's no excitement. You got to really come out. I got to tell you, even though I'm tired and some days I'm just worn out, as soon as I start talking about God, boom, I just feel electricity, you know, running through my veins. And I just tell the person, whoa, God is for you. And I just tell them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit just take over. And I got to tell you, you will get excited because, I mean, really, the Word of God is something to really get excited about. You know, because you know the world will give their advices, will give their solutions, and they'll promise you things that they will say. You will have a brighter tomorrow if you do it this way. You know, there's so many books that tell you, okay, if you follow this step-by-step program, you're going to get far in life. Guaranteed, in 3 months, you're going to be the happiest person ever. You're going to have a smile from one ear to the other ear because you follow this 10-step plan or whatever. But you know what? They totally leave out God. They don't mention God at all. And they say it's your own effort. It's your own solutions that you will find. as you do it this way. And you know, too often, these promises are not delivered. And they lead nothing but to disappointment. You guys been there? Where people say, oh yeah, you follow this, guaranteed. But nothing happens. But we gotta understand, because God's ways are perfect, you know, God will not fail us. You will never be disappointed if you do it God's way. When you surrender to His will, God says, I'm showing you exactly what you need to do. Step by step, I'm going to show it to you. And as you do it God's way, I got to tell you, you will walk into His blessings. I got to tell you about this alcoholic. This alcoholic man. Years ago, he sent a message to Ann Landers. You know who she is? She's this advice columnist. And she printed it in her column. This is what this man had said. He says, we drank for happiness, and we became unhappy. We drank for joy, and became miserable. We drank for sociability, and became argumentative. We drank for friendship, and we made enemies. We drank for sleep, and awakened without rest. We drank for strength, and felt weak. We drank medicinally, and acquired health problems. We drank for relaxation and got the shakes. We drank for bravery and we became afraid. We drank for confidence and became doubtful. We drank to make conversation easier and it slurred our speech. We drank to feel heavenly and ended up feeling like hell. We drank to forget and we're never and we're forever haunted. We drank for freedom and we became slaves. We drank to erase problems and saw them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invited death. Oh, just think about this. This is a person who is an alcoholic and he realizes, you know, the world says, you got a problem? Well, go ahead and numb it. Because I know, if I were to go to a friend who's not a believer, he'll tell me, I told you, Ben, just come get a drink with me. Get a drink and you'll feel better. Well, let me ask you, after getting the drink, after getting drunk, and the pain is kind of numbed, right? Does your problem go away? No, it's still there. And we realize we need God to help us. He's the one that can make things happen in our lives that He'll make it all better. It doesn't just numb the pain. He makes it all better. He heals you. He restores you. He gives you what you need to have the victory in life. Amen? And we got to understand the temptations of life, they deliver exactly the opposite of what they promise. Jesus, on the other hand, He delivers more than what was promised. And we know He's going to always continue to provide everything we need to live victoriously. He's always going to give it. He's not going to stop. He's going to say, well, I know you got the victory, my child, but I'm going to give you even more. 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 Because your heart is in the right place. You're living surrendered to Him. That's what it's all about. Realizing if you just want to numb your pain, then you know what? It's going to come back. It's just temporary. But you want God's hand to fix your life. If you let Him, He will do it. You're never going to be the same again. Once you really realize, my Father God is for me. He's making things happen all around me. And you, I'm knocking over something here. It's like my brother Carl said, yes. And that's what it's all about. Because I'm getting too excited. And that's where you got to realize our Father God. He's never against you. He's always for you. Amen. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for you that loves Him. And if you say you truly love Him, you're doing the work of God, you're doing the Word of God. It says, oh, you think God can bring this very thing in your life. You may ask for it, but God says, oh, I'm going to go above and beyond that. That's what God does. If you do it His way, God says, I'm bringing it because you truly are living a life that is true to me. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Wow. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Whatever God has promised, what He said is a promise in His word, it's a yes in Christ. That means God says, oh, my word will not come back void. What I say I will do, I will deliver, God says. And you know what our response is? Amen. Because you know what amen means? So be it. So be it. Just saying, Lord, it's done. If you know in your heart that this is the will of God, you ask something where you know God has put it in your heart, you say, yes, it's going to be delivered. You say, amen. And you just put a period right next to the amen, because sometimes you go, amen, but, no more of the but, amen, period. So be it, Lord, it's done. That's what God looks at. Do you have that amen with a period at the end of it? And if you do, God says, I know you got faith now. I know you believe in me. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I love that. All right, number two here. It says, we must have careful obedience to God. Careful obedience to God. Look what Joshua says in verses 6 to 13. Look what he says. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, what does it say? Cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to a flight a thousand of the enemy. For the Lord your God, what? Fights for you, just as He has promised. So be very careful. There's that word again. Careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from Him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, there will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes. And you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. And from this, we know Joshua, he gave them specific instructions about how to maintain your faithfulness to God. And you know what it was? He says, be careful in how you love Him. Be careful in how you obey Him. What was His command? He said, be strong. Be careful to follow and obey. Cling tightly and hold fast to the Lord your God. Because with obedience, it comes by careful attention to the written word of God. And we know that's important. That we are to say, Lord, what your word says, I will do. Because you got to be careful. What are we careful of? Be careful of? We got to be careful that we do not make the word of God what we want it to be. Because it's so easy to deviate to the right or to the left. Because I heard people say, oh, you know that verse that says Jesus says to love your enemies? I don't think He was really saying to love them. Because how can you love your enemy, someone that hates you? I think Jesus was saying just to tolerate them. Really? Oh, no, I think He said to love. To love with the very love of our Father God. That's what it means. We got to be careful not to pick and choose, you know, verses that we say, okay, I'll follow this, but I won't follow that. God didn't mean this, but He meant that. No, sometimes you got to go to the Holy Spirit and say, this is what you mean, Lord, and I'm following it. Because if we lighten and soften up the very word of God, we're never going to experience the full presence of God. Let me say that again. If you kind of soften and pick and choose what you want to obey, you're not going to experience the full presence of God. Because you're not truly doing the word of God. And I want you to really understand. That's what God requires of us. He wants us to sacrifice. He wants us to go above and beyond in our faith. He doesn't just want the mediocre. He doesn't just want the substandard of our faith. He wants us to go above and beyond. That's where we're going to experience God's fullness of His presence. Amen? And we have to understand, He also tells us not to associate. Well, He told the Israelites not to associate with nations around them who worship false gods. And you know, you got to understand, Joshua's heart was pretty much telling them, you got to make sure your love and devotion is to God and to God alone. There's nothing else but to God. Because, you know, some people may say, oh, isn't that racism? Isn't that prejudice? Because it sounds like he's saying that, you know, the Israelites, they're better than everyone. Israel is better than any other nation. Well, you know what? Joshua was pretty much telling them, it's a command. Because God says to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And we are to give Him our all. It's not prejudice. It's not racism. No, God says to them, you got to make sure your devotion to Me is true. It's all about Him. That's what God wants from us. And you know, the New Testament, it teaches the church the same truth. Because it tells us, right, we are to be separate from the world around us and to be devoted to Jesus Christ alone. So does that mean we don't associate with our family and friends who are non-believers? No. We are to love them. We are to show them respect and honor. But you know what? We are not to do the things of the world. What the world does, we are not to do. Because they love to, you know, party and just have a good time. And we can have a good time too, don't get me wrong. But you don't have to do the things where, you know, they love to drink and, you know, all the things that we know displeases God. Because we are set apart for God, aren't we? So we gotta show it. Because if the world sees us doing the same things what they're doing, they're gonna say, well, why should I become a Christian? You're doing the exact same thing I'm doing. You're living the same kind of life I'm living. That's why we got to make sure we're going to live life that is different. We're going to live life according to the Word. Because if you live life according to the Word of God, you will be different. Amen? You're not going to be the same. You're not going to look like the world. And that's where we know God, He will help us. He will show us what we need to do. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14, 7 to 1. It says, look what it says here. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Team up. Wow. It says, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can be there between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. I'm going to read on here. It's not in your notes. And he says here, as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or our spirit. And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. You know, I got to tell you about this young Jewish boy who grew up in Germany many, many years ago. And this lad, he had a profound sense of admiration for his father, who saw to it that the life of the family revolved the religious practices of their faith. So their Jewish traditions and their practices, the father made sure that they kept. It's something that they did daily. And often they were brought to the synagogues, you know, to read the word, and they were full on wanting and desiring more of the things of God. However, in the teen years, the boy's family, they were forced to move to another town in Germany. And this town had no synagogue. The only thing they had was a Lutheran church. And the life of the community revolved around this Lutheran church, and all the prominent people of the community came to this church. And suddenly the father announced to the family they were going to abandon their Jewish traditions, and they're going to join this Lutheran church. So when the stunned family asked, why are you doing this, father, you know what he said? He explained to them that it would be good for business. And you know, the youngster, he was so bewildered, he was so confused, really? Because, you know, his admiration for his father was because of the very fact that he hung on to these Jewish traditions. And you know, he was so deeply disappointed, he soon gave way to anger, and he had intense bitterness towards his father, and it plagued him throughout his entire life. Later, he left Germany and he went to England to study. And each day, he found himself in the museum, in the library, trying to formulate his ideas and compose a book. And you know what was in this book? In this book, he introduced a whole new worldview, and he conceived a movement that was designed to change the world. And he described religion as opiate for the masses. He's saying, religion is a drug that messes up your mind. Don't go into religion. This is what he was telling people. You can tell how bitter he was, you know? And so he encouraged and taught people to say, you know what, stay away from God. You don't need him. You just need each other. And he was telling them to live a life without God. And you know, did you know his ideas became the norm for the governments for almost half the world's people? You know what his name is? Karl Marx. You heard of his name, right? And he's the founder of the communist movement. Oh, can you see, can you understand the importance of staying true to your faith and not making any compromises? Because you know what? Your loved ones and your peers, they're watching. They're watching every move you make as a leader of your family, as a leader of the church, as a leader at your workplace, wherever it is, of your neighborhood, wherever it is. People are watching. And if they see you stumble, oh man, just like Karl Marx, it could set them off onto a path that leads to destruction. Is that the kind of legacy you want to leave behind? It's so important. I say to you, fathers, we got to make sure. We got to instruct our children well. We got to be there for them. We got to set them on the path that will lead to God. Because guess what? They're looking to us. And also for the mothers. We got to make sure we're not going to make any compromises. If we know it's not according to the word, we're going to say, we're going to reject that. We're only going to live according to what the word of God tells us to do. Amen? Look what it says in Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And we got to realize, is your devotion truly devoted to Him? It's all about Him. Because it says you cannot serve both God and money. I got to tell you, there was this man who was known as a major tightwad. And you know, I know in Hawaii we call them pakes, right? But I gotta make it clear, I'm Chinese, but I'm not a pake. Just want to make clear of that. But here's the thing. All his life, every time this man got a paycheck, he took $20 out of his paycheck and he put it under his mattress. And after many years, he got really sick and he was about to die. As he was dying, he said to his wife, I want you to promise me one thing, honey. And she said, what is it? He says, I want you to promise me that when I'm dead, you will take the money from under the mattress and put it in my casket so I can take it all with me. And after the man had died, the wife said, okay, I got to keep my promise to him, right? So this is what she did. She went into the bedroom and she got all the money. I mean, after how many years, right? She took all the money that was under the mattress and took it to the bank and deposited it. You know what she did then? She wrote a check for the full amount. She put it in the casket with her dead husband. Here's the thing. If your heart is you know, fully devoted to money, oh, you cannot serve God. You got to take your heart off of the money. Just like this guy, even if she were to put it all in her, in his casket, could he use it? No, you can't take it with you. You can take it with you in your grave, but you know what? You can't use it, can you? And you know, that's why I tell you, I make it a point, especially for my kids. I got to tell you, it is something that I always try to stress upon their lives. That I say, it's important that you always have a generous heart. You're always going to have the willingness to help others, because that's what's going to make you happy. Because if it's always about you, you're going to be one miserable person. This is what I tell them. This is what we should be telling our kids. Because if our focus is on the wrong things, it's on the things of the world, man, you're going to be one miserable guy or gal. And we got to remember, it's about God. It's not about us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number three here, it says, we must understand that a certain judgment from God will come when we choose to obey Him. We must understand that a certain judgment from God will come when we choose to disobey Him. Look what Joshua says in verses 14 to 16. Oh, look what he says here. Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. But as surely as the Lord your God has given you the good things He promised, He will also bring disaster on you if you disobey Him. He will completely destroy you from this good land He has given you. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God by worshiping and serving other gods, His anger will burn against you, and you will quickly vanish from the good land He has given you. And you know, Joshua, he concluded his monologue with a theme of judgment. And you know, our culture, we're not accustomed to ending with the negative. And you're probably thinking what the leaders are thinking. Why are you saying these things to us? But you know what? That's the thing. We tend to avoid the negative. But sometimes we need to hear the negative, because then it will bring forth the positive. And you know, we find here that Joshua warned his people, as a good fatherly leader should, that you know what, if you have persistent obedience, if you continue to do things that go against the will of God, if you replace God for other things, you don't make Him the center of your life, guess what's going to happen, gang? Your result will be destruction. I know that's hard things to hear, but is it the truth? Yes, we need to hear things like this, because we know if we don't tell our children, our loved ones, about the fact that, hey, there are consequences that will be have to be dealt with if you go on the wrong path. If we don't tell them that, guess what? They're going to think, okay, oh, life is so good and cheer. I can do whatever I want. No, we got to tell them, say, no, if you do the wrong thing, oh, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. That's out of love, isn't it? We must tell our loved ones, you got to make choices that will bring forth blessings, not bring forth curses upon your life. As parents, we got to teach our children the truth of God's judgment by our own consistent discipline. Because, you know, if we threaten our children with punishment for disobedience, we got to make sure we follow through when it is broken. Because, you know, here's the thing. You know, sometimes I can be a softie when sometimes my kids, they do things they're not supposed to be doing. And I say, I'm going to take away this, you know. I'm going to take away your iPhone or whatever, right? Your iPad or whatever. And then, yeah, I see them. They're like, Dad, I was in the middle of a game. And I go, oh, okay then, go ahead. I'll go easy on you this time, but next time, you know. The thing is, when we consistently go easy on them like that, guess what? They're going to say, oh, that's not serious.
Yeah.
He's going to say, oh, he's going to do this, but he's not going to follow through because my dad is a softie. And that's why it's so important. We got to follow through, because guess what? If they're going to get in their mind, if dad's going to be a softie, and he's telling me God is going to do this if I don't follow his ways, God, he's going to be a softy too. Right? So it's up to us. We got to make sure we're firm. We got to do what we say we're going to do. If they don't carry through what they're supposed to do. I got to tell you, it's so important. I see that in my own life. And it's not easy sometimes, you know, to be firm. But that's the way that we know that we'll bring forth blessings. As they see that we are so serious, you know, about what we say. They're going to say, oh, what God says, oh, I better really follow through too. So you guys see that? And that's where, you know, they won't have to suffer. Suffer in life as they realize, man, I better hang on to the word of God. And I'm not letting go. And I have to say this, you know, if you're a young adult and you're living with your parents at home, I got to tell you, receive the discipline that your parents give to you. Because sometimes you think, oh, I'm a man or I'm a woman now. I can do whatever I want. And the thing is, know that they love you. They're going to speak the word of God in your life. They're not going to stop. And I know sometimes, oh, I don't have to listen to you. No, listen. Because they have the best in mind for you. Because they know what God can do in your life if you follow through with what the word of God tells us. Because you know what? It is far better to learn obedience through the discipline of parents than to suffer an eternity in hell apart from Christ because they never learned to be faithful and obedient to God. So you know what? Parents, I encourage you. I'm talking about myself also. I know I gotta stay true. I gotta stay firm, knowing that this could affect their relationship with God. You guys catch that? It's very important. But we do it in love. We do it in a way that shows them, hey, I'm really showing to you that this is how much I care about you. We do not become a tyrant. We do not become someone that yells at them constantly. No, we do it in love. And we got to stay true to it. We got to stay firm to it. Amen? Yeah. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2, 25, 3 to 5. It says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he pleases. And we ought to gently instruct our family, our friends, whoever it is, whoever is lost, whoever is needing a touch from the word of God. We got to be there and say, you know what? This is what the word of God says. Because a lot of times, people will say to me, oh, I didn't know that was in the Word. And I see when they realize, man, I got to get things right. Oh, I love that. And I see it as they get things right, God blesses them. Oh, the abundance of heaven is poured upon them because they're willing to get it right. I see it. And I'm praising God because I know it's Him that has touched their heart. You know, Bill McCartney, he's the founder of Promise Keepers. And he tells a story about a greeting card company that gave away Mother's Day cards at prison. And, you know, all the male inmates, all they had to do was agree to sign and address the card. Very simple, right? And, you know, the response was so great. You know what happened? They ran out of cards and they had to rush in additional boxes. But what happened was the leaders of this greeting card company, they said, you know what, we're going to do the same thing for Father's Day. And they said, this time we're going to be prepared. We're going to have an abundance of cards. So, I mean, huge boxes of cards came in. And they're thinking, okay, I think we're going to have enough. But here's the thing. How many prisoners do you think showed up? Zero. No one showed up. Not one. Not a single person came to send his dad a Father's Day card. The whole point of this, I want you to get this, is that if you're a father, if you're a leader, and you've been missing in your child's life, think about this. Not only will your legacy be forgotten, you're going to be forgotten. So important, we got to stay present in our children's lives. We got to tell them, I'm there for you, son. I'm there for your daughter. And you got to spend the time with them, whether you're a father, a mother, whoever. You got to make that willingness to say, I'm willing to spend time with you because I love you. Oh, it's so important. Because you know what? We don't have much time on this planet Earth. The Bible tells us life is like a vapor. Once it's there, it's gone. You compare that to eternity. It is true, isn't it? Eternity is forever. Our life is just a little speck. It just goes and it comes. Make the best of what you can in this time we have. Make that effort to go to your loved ones. Hey, I love you. Hey, let's spend some time together. It makes all the difference in the world. Because just like these prisoners, you know, the reason why, you know, they had no affection or they weren't thinking of their fathers is because, guess what? Remember, they're in prison. And they say in most cases, a lot of the prisoners in prison, you know, they didn't have that fatherly role model to help them get on track on where they're supposed to be going. So it's important, I tell you. We gotta be the ones to teach our children, amen, the things of God. And as followers of Christ, we're gonna live with purpose. We're gonna live with passion for God. Because here's the thing, when it's all been said and done, can you say you left a legacy for all your loved ones that has pleased God? Think about this. Have you lived a legacy worth leaving for? Because it will show in the people you left behind. I'm not just talking about your family. I'm talking about like the people you influence. Wow, are they being blessed because you told them, you encouraged them, you said to them, stay true to the word of God. Wow. Isn't that kind of legacy you want to leave behind? Seeing people being blessed. Wow. You know, a Christian magazine, they recently compiled the last words that were uttered on the deathbeds of some of history's most famous and not so famous characters. And I want to read some of these things, some of the last words. This is the last words they said before, you know, they died. You know, one guy, this is what he said. How were the receipts today in Madison Square Garden? You know who said that? P.T. Barnum. You ever heard of his name? It's a famous circus promoter. And you know what? He died with life's passion on his lips. What was it? The state of his earnings. He was concerned about his receipts on his deathbed. Really? Is that what you want to be concerned about on your deathbed? What was Joshua concerned about? About his people. He said, oh man, you guys got to make sure you continue on this faith, right? How about this one? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. It's in French. Pardon moi, monsieur. You know what? It means pardon me, mister. You know who said that? Marie Antoinette, as she stepped on her executioner's toe, climbing up to the guillotine. Oh, and you know what? She died with a royal stature, right? Courteous and proud to the very end. Oh, would you want to die just being filled with? I mean, she stepped on the executioner's toe and said, oh, pardon me, mister. Oh, man, you know, I mean, you're about to die. How about this one? This one guy said, Moose, Indian. You know who said that? Henry David Thoreau. And he's a famed writer and poet. Think about this. For a man who made his living and found his fame with words, he died babbling, seeming nonsense. Kind of lost his mind at the end, and he was just babbling words that didn't make sense. Moose, Indian. Then he died. Whew. How about this one? It says, how's this for a headline tomorrow? I'm sorry, let me read that again. How's this for a headline in tomorrow's paper? French fries. You know who said that? Convicted murderer James French while sitting in the electric chair. French fries, get it? Okay. But think about this. He died sarcastically unrepentant. He made a joke out of it. He's about to die. He's going to get fried in the electric chair. And he says, tomorrow's headline is going to read French fries. This other guy, he says, don't let it end this way. Tell them I said something. You know who said that? Pancho Villa. He's a famed Mexican revolutionary. And you know what? he honestly admitted he had nothing of significance to say. He was the leader of the Mexican Revolutionary, and he just simply said, you know what? I don't know what to say. I have nothing significant to say, but tell my followers I said something. Wow. Would you want to leave life having nothing significant to say? Well, the last one. Tell me who said this. It is finished. Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior of the world. You know, Jesus, on the other hand, he stayed determined to the very end with his own life's passion and purpose on his lips. And you know, the Christian magazine, they remind us that these words were not the whimper of defeat or despair as many have misunderstood them to be. No, when he said, it is finished, it's a shout of confidence saying, Lord, Father, I completed my mission. I did what you asked me to do. And Jesus, he finished the purpose for which he had been born. He lived a perfect life. That's what the scripture tells us. In order to fulfill the holy requirements of God's moral law. And then he offered his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's what he did. That's what he did. And all that was left was for him to rise in victory. And he did. And the third day, he rose again. And we know Christ is alive in us. Did he leave a legacy? Oh, yes, the legacy is living in us. It's alive in us. And we're going to continue to live on the very words he says. It is finished. Look what it says in John 19:30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Question is, what would your last words be? Think about this. Would it be on yourself? Would it be on money, the things of the world? Or would it be upon others? Would it be upon God? This is what God would want you to do. Because if you're living a life that is true to him, I've got to tell you, I really believe this. When it comes that day, we're going to be on our deathbed. Or we're going to be in a situation where we know we're going to take our last breath very soon. What's going to be on your mind? More importantly, what's going to be in your heart? I want you to look at what it says in 2 Timothy 4:7. Look what the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. I want you to understand, this is of the greatest importance. It's not about how well we started. It's how well we finish. Because how will you finish will determine what kind of legacy you will leave behind. It's how will you finish. You got to turn it up. Your faith, your passion for God. Because here's the thing. Would your last words be just like the very last words our Lord Jesus said? It is finished. Can you say, it is finished, Lord? I finished a race and I finished it strong, Lord, for you. I live my life for you. But let's just say, these were your very last words. What would happen next? If you can say these words, guess what's going to happen? Poof! You know you're going to be in the presence of our Lord God and King. You're going to be standing right before Jesus. And as you can say these words, it was all about you, Lord. It's in your heart, it's in your mind. Guess what? You're going to be standing before Jesus. And you know what Jesus is going to say? Welcome in, child. Welcome in. You answered your call. You lived for me. And it was true. Well done, my servant. Welcome in. Brothers and sisters, let's finish strong. Can we say, it is finished? Can that be our very last word? Knowing that as we say that, we're immediately going to be taken into the presence of the King. Amen? Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's come before our Father God. Father God, we come to you, Lord, as your children who desire you. And I thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken today, Lord. And I know, Lord, you have spoken this message to us because we know we truly are to live a legacy that we can leave behind to our loved ones, that we can truly know, even if we were on our deathbed, we were to take that last breath, we know our family and loved ones would be able to continue on the legacy that we left behind, that they will continue on that path that leads to God. They will continue on to love God even more. I pray, Father God, you will show it to us, Lord, what we need to do, because truly, it's not about us in this life, and we know if it is about our loved ones, about the people we have influenced, that we have touched with your word. I pray, Lord, that you will give us instruction and guidance of what we are to do, Lord. Because truly, we want to leave a legacy that is worth living for. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you will give us all we need to live victoriously. You will give our family, our friends, our loved ones, all they need to live victoriously. And I pray, Lord, as your Holy Spirit counsels us right now, as your Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, I know you're revealing to us what we need to do. And if that's in your heart, you're saying, Lord, help me, because I haven't been really doing what I was supposed to be doing. I haven't been going all out. I haven't been truly living your word, but I want to, Lord, because I know people are watching. And if you know that's the cry of your heart, and you know you're crying out for God's help, I got to tell you, you know that God will come in and he will show himself in your life. And if that's you, can you simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. And I'm going to truly, from this day forward, live a life that is true to God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to live a life totally, truly on fire for you, for your word. I'm going to live your word. I'm going to see the fruits that are going to be born. I'm going to see the blessings that will come my way as I live for you. Father God, we just touch everyone in this room right now. Let your Holy Spirit's presence fall upon your people. In Jesus' name, let your presence fall. And as your presence falls on them, I pray, Lord, they will have an increase of your love, of your peace, and of your joy. Let it continually flow now, Father God. Let it flow, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. More of you, as we decrease, Lord, may you continually increase. And thank you, Lord, for what you started in their lives, what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I heard about people talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, with Father God. What must I do to get started? Well, you know what? You're going to start off by praying a simple prayer, but you got to mean it from your heart. God is listening right now. And if you are serious, you're saying, Lord, I want you in my life. Lord, I'm tired of trying to live life by myself, on my own. Know that God says, I will come in and I will show myself to you. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, do not deny him. Because the Bible says if you deny him, he will deny you. So make it a decision, a choice, and say, Lord, I'm receiving you this very day. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, say yes to him. Say yes to him. And if you're making that decision right now and saying, Lord, I want you in my life, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise God. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray this prayer out loud. And remember, pray from your heart. Pray like you really mean it. Like you know this is what your heart desires. Simply say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. And I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if If I confess of my sins,
sins,
you are faithful and just,
to
forgive me of my sins,
and cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me now, Lord.
Cleanse me now, Lord.
And make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this. So you can hear me, Father God. And so that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him. And I live for a moment.
Father God,
write my name in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Let's all